Romans chapter 14. We went to Missions Emphasis Month, and here we were just a few chapters from finishing Romans. And of course, during Missions Emphasis, we have our missionary guests. They're presenting during the Sunday school hour, or we're teaching on missions during the Sunday school hour. And so we're getting back into the closing chapters of this book. Very good chapter, very interesting chapter. I think a very helpful chapter, because the main theme of chapter number 14 is just the idea of learning to show grace to each other, and not to major on the minors, and not to feel like that everybody that looks at something a little different than you, your ministry and life is to correct them, and to understand that once again we're talking about a combination, especially of two very different cultures coming together, the Jewish Christians made up part of this church and Gentile Christians. And a lot of the things we've studied in this book has just been Paul's appeal to both groups to realize that we are made one in Christ. Hey, you know what? That would solve all of the problems that we're facing when it comes to this race issue in the United States of America. You know what? Let's stop worrying about this group trying to convince this group to think like them, and this group trying to convince this group to think like them, and let's all go to the Bible and think like God thinks. That's what unifies. And what's so amazing is, you know, you can get on a plane and you can go to different countries and different cultures and different people groups, and you can walk in and shake hands with brothers and sisters in Christ that, you know, have all kinds of different life experiences and come from different cultures. Precious Bible phrase. And it doesn't mean that we do not have separate opinions about things. Consider their background, and there's some things that maybe they're going to be weak in their faith in for a while until they grow in understanding. So instead of the rest of us either looking down on them or refusing to accept them or exercising good patience with them, let's love them. And let's just understand, we all started somewhere too, and the growth in grace is a process. And you know what? You don't have to try to correct everything the first day you meet them. Trust the Bible. Trust the Word of God. If they'll set under the preaching of the Word of God, if they'll start reading their Bible, there'll be a growth process that begins. And so, you know, I love this chapter because I think it just reminds us all. Let's just always, folks, if we're going to err, let's err on the side of grace. Let's err on the side of patience. Let's just understand that, you know what, people, I'm going to say this at one point. Watch this. Just because me or you have an opinion about something doesn't mean we always have to share it. And we don't even need to always have an opinion on something. And we're going to see a portion of scripture that basically tells us if you're strong in the faith, there's times that you need to keep some things to yourself. Okay, it doesn't mean that that person may not need help eventually in that area. Sometimes we try to dump the whole semi-load on a new convert in a three-week stretch. You know, they can't handle that. Watch this. If there was a mother that had a newborn baby, and one of the nursery workers was back there, and they see her open up a package of cooked meat, roast beef, and start stuffing it in the mouth of that baby, mercy sakes alive, every woman would rise to her feet and say, "What in the world are you doing? You're going to kill that child." Folks, listen, newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. So you know what we do? We focus on the basics. We focus when we get new converts. Let's get them strong in assurance. Let's teach them biblically about baptism. Let's teach them the importance of church attendance and church membership and what that will do for them and how that will help them. Let's do the baby steps. Let's just help people grow. And so, anyway, I'm taking too much time. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll go there in just a second, but let me read a little bit of 14. Romans chapter 14. Him that is weak in the... a show on TV, and it was about the life of Jesus Christ. And, you know, Hollywood makes a movie about Jesus. You know it's going to be accurate, you know. But I can barely remember this as a little boy watching that movie. And Jesus went down to talk to John the Baptist in this movie, and he asked him to baptize him. And John the Baptist refused to baptize him. And so Jesus looked at John and just baptized himself in this movie. Jesus just baptized himself. He just went in the water. And I thought, oh, wow. Well, you know, that, I was getting my Bible knowledge from a movie about, well, we hadn't been going to church very long. I remember it was about a year later, somebody, Sunday school teacher was teaching about, you know, John baptizing Jesus. And I said, raised my hand. I said, John didn't baptize Jesus. And she was like, he didn't? No, I seen it on TV. Jesus had to baptize himself. You say, well, that's silly. I think that I love that story to share that with you, because you realize all I knew was what I knew, and all I knew was what I thought I knew, and I wasn't right on a lot of stuff, and I shouldn't have been getting my doctrine for, but you know what? We were new in church. And the teacher, you know what? She didn't scold me. She didn't chew me out. She just said, let's go to the Bible. Let's read what the Bible says about it. And I remember I was so shocked, because I'd seen it with my own eyes. I mean, come on, I've seen it with my, and I remembered, you know what helped me? The Bible helped me. And the spirit of the person that was just trying to help somebody that was off in something. So had she handled that differently and maybe took that opportunity to scoff or laugh or ridicule me because of the fact of, because she asked me, well, how do you know this? I saw it on TV. I mean, you, I don't know how she kept a straight face. But I love the fact, when I think back at that, that she just said, you know what? Let's just look at the Bible and let's see how this story unfolds. And she handled that right. And so I think, folks, when we're dealing with new people coming in, you know, let's not worry about every doubtful disputation. Don't feel like we have to fix everything. Let's just always point them to Jesus and always point them to the Bible, and let the Sunday school lessons and the preaching services, and as they become more faithful on Wednesday night, you know, if they come in with wrong thinking in some areas, the Bible will fix it. If we can just get them in church, love them and get them into church and give them time, the Lord will fix some things, okay? So verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Vegan, somebody's vegan there, I guess. And number 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, okay? And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. And I have to laugh, because I bring it into the, anytime I mention stuff like that, everybody gets nervous. One of the things I told my wife is, see, we had to go on I had to change my diet because of being pre-diabetic. And so we kind of did a diet overhaul, not drastic, because we were already eating pretty healthy, to be honest with you. But there was some things I had to eliminate, or not completely eliminate, but just really go down to moderation. And one of the things I told my wife, and this will be a blessing to all of you, I said, listen, if we're going to make the changes in our life based on the way we have to eat at this point, we are not going to become the food Nazis. We are not going to be sitting at the table at the fellowship preaching to everybody at the table about, you know what, I ate what I wanted for as long as I wanted, as long as I could, and I enjoyed every bit of it, and I want you all to do the same, okay? And, you know, it's just amazing to me how many times people get on these crusades. I just wish I could get you to share the gospel as much as you do about your new diet and what I'm doing wrong eating. So, you know, again, some grace. If you choose to do something, it's good for you. But don't become a Jehovah Witness about it. All right? And if I choose to do something, by the way, I didn't choose to. But if I have to do something, I'm not going to begrudge somebody that's eating a cinnamon roll. You know, matter of fact, if they turn their back, I might get a bite of it. So, you know, just a little grace, a little sensibility in the Church of Jesus Christ, all right? Because you are so fanatical. I shouldn't keep going on this, but you're so fanatical about this, but 6 months later it'll be something else. 6 months later it'll be something else, and then you'll be selling something online. And anyway, so, all right, let's keep moving, all right? Well, I'm bringing unity, aren't I? I'm helping us here. Verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let him that which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Hey, they're God's children. Okay, the Jewish person that's coming into the church and has some Old Testament hang-ups over the dietary law, they're God's child as much as you're God's child. And if they choose to sit down and not eat, you don't need to preach a message at them or show them verses. You know what? The Bible's going to go on to say, they bow their head and they ask thanks for what they're eating. You're going to bow your head and ask thanks. Why don't you just all be thankful to God and enjoy it? You know, here's the thing. I believe this. I believe we ought to work as hard at finding things we have in common as we seem to be finding things that we don't have in common. If I realize that I get into a conversation about an area where I'm going to have a disagreement with someone, you know what I do? I change the subject to an area where I know we agree. You know what it's called? We're going to find out. Blessed are the peacemakers. All right? And you know, that again, you know, again, we're talking about things that aren't virgin birth, and he doesn't believe in the virgin birth. Salvation, we're not talking about salvation by grace versus salvation by works. Trust me, there's some things that we have to say, all right, stop. We've got to get to the Bible on this, okay? And let me help you on this. But a lot of the things that we a lot of times get into disputes over, disagreements over, and sometimes if we're not careful, can cause really schisms and division in a church are minor things that, you know what, you might actually absolutely be right on. But you know what? It's not like they're sinning by what they're doing. If they chose not to eat the same meat that you ate, it's not like God, they've broken a command of God by not eating it. And so you may say, well, I'm not breaking one for eating it. Okay, it sounds like you're both okay. Right. Why don't you bow your head, thank God, enjoy the meal, and talk about something you can agree on, you know? And so I think God's just given us some good sense here. Number four, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? So there's some things that the two of these people have in common, and I want to kind of get to that. Let me get ahead in my notes here. I was going to go to 1 Corinthians 8. We might if we have time, but you know, again, there's some things that you have in common here. Think about this. There's some things that you have in common. First of all, he says this, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? All right, let me talk about some things we have in common with me and this brother that may have a disagreement about. We're going to cover two things in this chapter because that was the points of contention between the Jews and the Gentiles was holy days, recognition of holy days, and the meats they were eating. We may have a different list, but whatever the list is, here's some things I have in common with that brother. We both serve the Lord. Okay? Why am I judging another man's servant? This man's not my servant, and I'm not his servant. We're both God's servant. Why don't I let God take care of him and let God take care of me? And but here's the common denominator. We're both serving the Lord. Okay, imagine a Gentile and a Jewish person, and they sat down, and what's on their plate is different. And this man, we're going to see the phrase, is fully persuaded in his mind. And this guy is fully persuaded in his mind. And you know what? Now they can decide that that's going to be a point of contention. And next thing you know, one of them picks their plate up and I'm going to some other table. Matter of fact, I may go to some other church because if they're going to allow that kind. Or you could recognize the common denominators in your life, okay? If you're eating beef and I'm eating pork and we're both getting ready to go soul winning together, we're both servants of the Lord. And we both are serving the same God. So let's focus on that which unifies us. So both were serving the Lord. Let's keep reading that verse. Watch this. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Both of us are standing for the Lord. Both of us are serving the Lord. Hey, this brother's here. He's not at home. He's not drunk. Okay, he showed up at church. We're getting ready to go serve God. He stands for the important things that I believe in. Again, let's find out what we have in common that's major instead of talking until we divide over minor. And so both are standing for the Lord. And then it goes on to say this, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he regardeth not doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Okay, so what do we have in common here, okay? We're both here. We're both children of God. God is our master. We're both serving God. We're both standing for the important things. And we're both giving thanks for what we believe God wants us to do, or what God wants us to eat, or what God... So you know what? Man, we got a lot in common. And I'm not going to divide over the fact that he's got a different kind of meat on his plate than I do. And so what we need to do is take this into our situations of life and say, listen, let's make sure that if we have to divide, and I preached a message on necessary divisions. You can go to the Bible, and the Bible will tell you there are certain things that you must divide over. Okay, if we have things listed from God that we have to divide over, and then let's let that be the list. And let's not create a second list of minor silly things and keep subdividing and subdividing and subdividing. If you haven't noticed, folks, there's not many of us left. They're standing for the right things. So instead of keep looking for things to fight and argue about amongst ourselves, maybe what we ought to do is accent what we agree upon and present a united front against the devil and go win somebody to Jesus Christ, you know. So I like that. I think the emphasis here from verse 4 to 6 is this. So let God judge his servants. Be glad the other brother serves the Lord beside you, stands for the Lord with you, that you're thanking the Lord together. I could put it this way. Just learn to mind your own beeswax. My mom used to say that every once in a while. Mind your own beeswax, she would tell us, when us two of us kids, watch this, was arguing over stupid. And she'd say, mind your own beeswax, both of you. Both of you. And you know what she was saying? You're sitting there arguing over something that doesn't matter. Jerry, that's not your business. That's what he's doing. You mind what you're doing. You mind what you're doing. He didn't ask for your opinion. You don't need to give it. Okay? That's good counsel. Now, folks, listen. Then it goes on down, verse 7 through 12. I like this little portion of Scripture. None of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Now, what that means, it's very important that we understand what that phrase means, this. No man should live for himself or unto himself, and no man will die to himself. What that means is this. You know what? I am not supposed to live for me. I'm supposed to live for God. And when I die, I'm not going to answer to me. I'm going to answer to God. Now think about that. That's why I've got to be careful when it comes to this phrase of being fully persuaded in my own mind. Listen to me. Listen, if we're going to be fully persuaded about something, it shouldn't be because I made up my mind about this. If I'm going to be fully persuaded about something, then I need to be fully persuaded because of what the Bible teaches about it. Okay? And I'm afraid sometimes that phrase there of two men that had two opposite opinions, and yet they're both Christians, and both are fully persuaded in their own mind. Maybe both of them ought to open their minds back up, go to the Bible, because again, the Bible unifies us. We've got to be careful that we just don't get, in some areas of our Christian life, sold on something, stubborn about something. I told a guy here the other day, I said, if you have to spend, in order to believe what you believe, if you have to explain away, 14, 15 different verses in the Bible, maybe you ought to stop explaining them away and just believe them. Amen. And sometimes we get fully persuaded about something, and then we're grasping at scriptural straws to try to support it. You know, whatever the Bible, here's something that'll help you. Whatever the Bible is emphatic about, then you be emphatic about that. And whatever the Bible's vague about, don't be emphatic about it. Okay? Make sure that when you are going to develop a conviction where you then extend no grace to someone who doesn't agree, you make sure the Bible stands strong on that same conviction. Okay? Because that keeps us, again, from dividing over some things that aren't maybe as clear as sometimes we want to convince ourselves they are. So no man should live for himself. No man will answer to himself. Be careful that you're not stubbornly persuaded in your mind. Instead, make sure you're fully persuaded from the scriptures about something. And even that, you say, well, preacher, I've studied that out. And so I believe this because I've studied it out. You know, I did that a lot of times. I did a study on something, fully persuaded, did my study, felt I was accurate. And then, you know what, a year or so later, I was reading a verse and came to a qualifying scripture that shed light on one of the tenets of what I was convinced about. And I thought, wait a minute. You know what? If I look at that, what I believed, if I take into account this verse, I'm not saying that I even necessarily had to throw away that, but it might make me alter that a little bit. And you're going to do that all through your Christian life. If somebody has been saved 5 years and they say, I've studied and I believe what I believe and no one's ever going to talk me out of it and I'm never going to change. Dude, in 5 years, you know about this much Bible. You may think you know this much, but you know about this much Bible. You're going to spend your life continuing to study the Bible. And the more you study about things and the more God gives you added light, and sometimes you'll go to preaching. Preaching opens up. I mean, the Word of God, the Bible says God uses preaching to manifest his word. And a lot of times you're going to maybe be fully persuaded about something. You're going to hear a guy preach a message on it. It's going to go, whoa, wait a minute. I better back the truck up a little bit. So again, let's all bow to the scriptures. Let's all say, hey, you know what? As I continue to learn the Bible, if the Bible sheds new light, I'm not going to stubbornly hold on to a false belief or a misconception or a less than accurate interpretation just because I've opened my mouth about it and beat my chest about it. I've got to let the Word of God reign supreme and have the final word in what we believe. And so we're all growing, okay? Listen, I don't want to shake your faith in your pastor or whatever. Do you realize that Jerry Ross is going to get before God and some things that I was absolutely 100% sure of, I'm going to find out I was wrong about? And so are you. Okay, so that's why I got to back up and say, if there's areas where I either haven't studied it fully or I've studied it fully and I'm not sure that I can be emphatic, in those areas, I've got to extend some grace to somebody that may come to a slightly different conclusion. And you know what? But we're still serving God together, standing for God together, giving thanks together, agree on all the major things together that is inarguable. Then you know what? I'm not going to have you raise your hand because that would be unfair and it would be too discouraging for me. But if I ask, so don't do it because really, I don't think I can take it. You know, I'm pretty emotionally fragile. You know that that's true. So, but if I said today, raise your hand if you are in 100% agreement of everything Jerry Ross has ever said from the pulpit. You know, I doubt if too many hands would go up. And you know what? I may preach something and say, and I try to be careful as far as I'll say, you know, sometimes I'll say, okay, this is speculation or this is how I think it might happen, you know. I try to be emphatic where God's emphatic. And sometimes I say, I believe the Bible may be saying this. You know, it's fun when you're speaking about heaven because, you know, we're trying to imagine with such a limited mind what when we get there, we thought it was going to be this, and it's going to be infinitely past that. We're just going to look at each other like we were stupid. We couldn't have even thought of this. And I think there's going to be so many things when we awaken his likeness. So many things that we struggle with that we're going to look back and say, what in the world? So many things, come on, that we fought over. And we're going to say, really? In the light of this? You know, so many things that we, you know, maybe hurt somebody over that really we look back and just say, come on. A little grace there would have been a lot better than a judgment, you know. Just, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying to compromise. Man, we can't compromise on what the Bible says. But, you know, you can believe right. Here's a statement that we ought to say from time to time from the pulpit. You can have the right position and the wrong disposition. Okay? And I think sometimes, you know, the more mature we are in Christ, the more tender we ought to handle those who are still immature in Christ. And the more patience we ought to exhibit. Okay? You know, come on. This is a bad illustration. It's like a grandparent versus the parent. You know, you ever watched your parents and how they spoil your children, and you think, where were you when I was being raised? And one thing, we don't have to raise them. But another thing is this. I will tell you this. As a parent, there were so many things that I was so... And as a grandparent, part of it is that you say, well, you mellowed. No, I just kind of have learned that there are a lot of things that used to be such a big deal in the whole scope of that child's life. More times than not, love fixes things more than anything. And I'm not telling you go soft. I'm just telling you, you begin to look at things from a larger life experience. And you begin to spend more time, I think, recognizing the good instead of searching for the bad. Now, bad, wrong can't be ignored. And I hope you're getting the balance there, okay? All right? So, don't sweat the small stuff. Everything we do and everything we believe will be tested at the judgment seat. That's what this goes on to say. It's in verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? In verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? He's like, watch this. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All this minor stuff, it'll get sorted out. And he's not my servant. I'm not his servant. We're God's servant. And I'm sure God will look at me and there'll be a handful of things. He goes, seriously? And, the other guy, he's going to look at him and say, seriously? I'm just saying, you know what? There's some things that I think we ought to just let God worry about. How about this thought? Watch this. Let's worry less about judging others and be reminded that we'll all stand before God. Focus on making sure that you're right in both your position and your disposition. Stand for truth, but don't lose grace. Listen, stand for truth, but don't lose grace. Okay? You can have the right position, I mentioned this, and the wrong disposition. So verse 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 reminds us that Jesus died for us. And you know what? One of these days we'll stand before him. He's the Lord of both the dead and the living. So we'll stand before him in life and we'll stand before him after death. Let's be reminded of that. Get up every morning. I'll say it one more time. Look in the mirror. That's the guy that's going to give you the most trouble. Spend most of your day focused on keeping that person right. You won't have a lot of extra time to be worrying around, going around trying to fix the world, So verse 13 through 16, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on an occasion to fall in his brother's way. He said, listen, I want you to get off the judgment seat. I want you to stop judging people as far as what you think they're right or wrong about and judge this. Are you causing that brother to stumble? Are you causing that brother to fall? Even if you're right about something, but he's a weak brother, and the thing you're right about would cause him to fall. And that's where we could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I don't have time. But you go over there and read that later on. It's a parallel passage. And he was telling them, listen, you're right in your stance that you can eat meat offered to idols. First of all, they're idols to false gods. Secondly, it's just meat. If you give thanks for it, who cares? But having said that, he said, wait a minute. What about this Jewish brother just got saved out of that nonsense? He watches you eat that meat and all of a sudden he stumbled. Paul said, listen to me. You know what? If it's going to offend or affect in a negative way another brother and sister in Christ, even if I have Christian liberty to do it, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do something purposely that I know for whatever reason. Well, he just needs to get over it. For whatever reason, I'm not going to do something that's going to cause that weaker brother to stumble and fall. And so, like I said, we always want to err on the side of grace. So let us not, therefore, judge one another, but judge this rather. No man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. He said this, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. Wow, that's a powerful preface, whatever he's about to say. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So he says emphatically, listen, I'm a mature Christian. I know that whatever meat I want to eat, as long as I bow my head and ask God to bless it, it's fine. I know that, but that guy doesn't know it. So what am I going to do? Let's read on. Verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not. What's that next word? Charitably. Man, let's walk charitably. Let's walk in love. Let's show love. Let's show understanding. Let's just be careful. Watch this. What's the next sentence? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good, your right position, be evil spoken of. You can be right and still act wrong. You can stand for truth and still extend grace. You can refuse to let a difference in opinion divide you. You can walk charitably. You can err on the side of love. You can refuse to destroy a brother over a minor issue. Let not your good be evil spoken of. What should we be focused on? Well, let's finish the rest of the chapter. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but, oh, here we go, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So here's the list of focus things we ought to focus on. Personal righteousness before the Lord, keeping ourselves right. Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Look at verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Okay, joy. All right, let's keep the happiness. If I'm walking around arguing with all the time, all I'm doing is just bringing a spirit of strife. I got an idea. Why don't I just bring a spirit of joy into the church? Right. Okay? And then verse 18, let's focus on serving the Lord. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and proved to men. So watch this. If somebody wants to serve the Lord and has a desire to serve the Lord and they have not grown into all of the areas that they need to grow in, I'm still going to find a place to let them serve the Lord. And we do that with new converts around here. You know, maybe they can't be a Sunday school teacher yet, but they could be a Sunday school helper. Okay? You know, maybe they shouldn't be preaching in children's church, but they could give away quiet seat prizes. Are you listening to me? Well, preacher, I know something about one of your ushers. Well, I know about my head usher. I could tell you a lot of things about my head usher. He's peeking in the back door. He's not listening, but... you know, he could tell you some things about the preacher. What are we doing? Come on, after a while, what are we doing? I think sometimes we just are looking for reasons to not let people serve instead of saying, okay, understand, folks, that there are certain positions that, you know what, there needs to be a measure of Christian maturity, and I get that. The Bible even says sometimes, not a novice. There are some areas where it's like, don't put a new person, brand new Christian in this position. But that doesn't mean we can't find a place to serve the Lord. Hey, bus captains, listen, when I was running a bus route up in Chicago, you know, I had my workers that was from the college. And by the way, they were at Hiles Anderson College. They had all the same standards, had all the rule book, had all that. But you know what? I used the teen guys and the teen girls on my bus and found things for them to do and made them feel like this was not, they were not just a bus rider. They were a part of my team. And I couldn't maybe let some of them preach, but I let those girls sing on the bus, and I let those boys help and give out quiet seat prizes. Is that what I said? Quiet seat prizes. Amen, brother. Yeah. I spoke in tongues there. Don't judge me. It's a minor issue. Okay, maybe not. But yeah. Hey, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? You know what? Everybody needs to feel like they're part of something. You know, I mean, I'm all for spectator sports, but man, everybody has that. If you got anything in you, pretty soon you're like, I'm tired of watching the game. I want to just go play. You know, I want to get into the game. Can I do something? Yeah, you can. You absolutely can. So everybody in your realm, whether you're a bus captain, adopt that philosophy into your bus route. Sunday school teachers can adopt that into their classroom. You know, I mean, we can look for ways to allow people to invest and to, because where their treasure is, their heart's going to follow. And if they're not investing in some way, then their heart's not going to be given over to it. And so just think about that. Use wisdom. Think about that. So serving Christ together. What do we ought to be focused on? Personal righteousness, peace, joy, serving Christ. Verse 19, edification. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things whereof one may edify one another. That's talking about building up one another. Care for the weaker brother. That's what we ought to be focused on. Verse 20, for meat destroy not the work for meat. Destroy not the work of God over meat. Don't destroy the work of God.
Right.
All things are indeed pure. It is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Watch this question. Watch this. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Oh, you're the mature Christian. You got all the right answers. Why don't you just keep that to yourself? And why don't you be more concerned about that weaker brother and put in a stumbling block? Folks, listen to me. That does not mean there aren't going to be times once you have gained their trust and once you've invested and once you've built a relationship, they're going to be coming to you with the questions eventually. Hey, I noticed you don't do this. Or, you know, I heard something in a message and I've always thought this. John the Baptist didn't baptize Jesus. He baptized himself. You know, they're going to come to you with this stuff, and you're going to have an opportunity then to say, well, you know what? Since you asked, I don't want to give you my opinion, because what's my opinion worth? You know, one of the things we try to do is just go to the Bible. Let me this week jot down a handful of verses, and I'll give them to you on a card on this next Wednesday night. Why don't you read through them and then make some notes and then come back and let's talk about what the Bible says about this. And so many times, folks, if you'll just give them the Bible where they go in and seek the answers, then it's not, well, Brother Brian told me this, or Brother Dave told me this, or Pastor told me this. It becomes, you know, I went to the Bible and I realized the Bible said this. And so I think a lot of times all we do is they have an opinion, so we share our opinion. Well, why don't we say, well, that's interesting, but maybe I could share some Bible with you, and you take a look at that, and then just no sense, let's look at it and see what we think the Bible says, because ultimately, it's about what God says. And just keep putting them, and that will help you grow them. And then graciousness, the last two verses, hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. I love the way, I'm not sure that shouldn't be highlighted in every independent fundamental Baptist Bible. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And this is just graciousness. Just because I've gotten there doesn't mean this guy's gotten there yet, and I'm going to extend grace. Watch this. Just because I've gotten there does not mean he'll ever get there. I'm still going to love him. I'm still going to extend grace, okay? Because you know what? This is what it's all about. Man, we're all figuring it out. We're all growing. We're all learning. We're all developing spiritual maturity. And yes, once we receive a certain level of that, God entrusts some of us to teach and preach and help people. But even that needs to be handled so carefully. Because some of you old timers, you know, and you're strong in things, and you see pastor, and I'll come right up to the edge of a subject on a Sunday morning sometimes, and then I'll kind of back away, and you're thinking, man, I just wish he would have just went it. Well, you don't think about who else is in the auditorium. And sometimes I say as much as need to be said for the people that are here. It doesn't mean I'm compromising. It means I'm not sticking roast beef in babies' mouths. And as I can get them to come on Sunday night and Wednesday night, we go a little deeper. There are times when, you know, a person's been saved enough. Preacher comes to the pulpit, and sometimes I'll say, okay, I'm going to need everybody to really extend grace. Put your seatbelts on. I'm going to have some of you look at things that you've never seen before, and I just want you to listen to God and look at his word, and let's just see what the Bible says. But in the end, it has to be the word of God and the spirit of God that convinces people. And if that happens, then they will be fully persuaded about that. But if it's just this preacher's opinion, then the next church they go to, they'll switch to that preacher's opinion. And the next church, they'll switch. So, you know what we want to do is we want to ground people in the Bible. I hope this has been a help. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll, Lord, help us, dear God, as we try to just be a blessing and grow Christians, dear God. And thank you for this ministry. Multifaceted, so many layers, so many people that are affecting other people's lives, and what a great place to serve and the opportunities it affords. But Lord, along with that, of course, there's a danger. We don't want to Lord, in any way, dear God, cause a brother to stumble or offend a weaker brother, put him to naught, just simply because of a lack of patience or grace on our part. Lord, I need to exemplify that. I need to do a better job of that. Lord, help us all to just love people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.